So that created an obvious problem for believers, and this is what scholars generally point to say this is the breaking point between Judaism and Christianity. I can see that this was certainly a large contributing factor to the divorce. Okay, so that's what happened. That's what happened there in Yavne, and from there we had this body of liturgical tradition, which is mostly just scripture. It's mostly just weaving together scripture. We've taken this body of liturgical tradition that goes all the way back into temple times and before. And it goes into the Mishnaic era. We have the Tanaim and the Amorim that are going to start talking about it. They're going to start saying, oh yeah, well, you know what the blessing for going to the bathroom is? And so on. And they're going to saying, you know, what they heard from their teachers and back and forth. And we get tractate Brachot out of this. And so now we've got, you know, a large body of liturgical material that's growing. It's growing at this point. And it's growing in the synagogues. Now, over in the synagogues, remember, nobody has a siddur. They haven't printed these things yet. Instead, you just have to know these prayers. Everything's still oral, right? So it's the oral tradition. But people don't know the prayers. You don't expect the common people to know the prayers. So what do you do if you're a common person and you want to pray in the synagogue? You go to the synagogue and you have a cantor and he prays for you. And you say amen at the correct moments. You might not even know Hebrew. I mean, you just say amen at the right times and then you're in. You're in with the minyan, in with the congregation. And so that's how it works. So, you know, when we say the cantor's repetition of the Amidah, that goes back to days before people could read, or when people couldn't read Hebrew, before they had print, before everybody had a prayer book in their hand. You know, back before the Middle Ages even, the cantor would say the prayers and you say amen. And that's how that's how it would work. And you know what's funny about it is it's come full circle for us, because now we're back to where nobody can read Hebrew. So it works out great. You know, you have the cantor say it in Hebrew for you, you say amen, you get the credit as if you prayed it in Hebrew. It's awesome. That's how it works. Anyway, people did not have these books. They didn't have Sidurim. Instead, they would say amen. And then, if you were a cantor or you're a prayer leader, you just had a body of tradition. You probably have many different books and places that you derived stuff from, but mostly you just prayed what you learned from the previous cantor of the previous generation. You know, and this just kind of got passed on like this. But around the beginning of the Middle Ages, it's 850, and this guy named Amram Gaon of Shura, Babylon, he says, I should really collect this and codify all this. He collects it and codifies it. 50 years later, Sida of the same city says, I should really bind it all together in one book. He binds it all together in one book, and voila, the Siddur is born. How about that? What
do you mean you codify it?
Well, okay, so you have lots of different, let's take Ahava Rabbah, for example. Ahava Rabbah has different endings. There's different versions of Ahava Rabbah. And so he says, I should look at the different versions, try to figure out which one is authentic or more authentic than the others, and then I should pick, say, okay, what do you do when Hanukkah falls on a Sabbath? Then what do you say, you know? And so he starts collecting all of these different, you know, for different contingencies and different situations. So that's, he collects it all. And so 50 years later, it's bound in a book. And couple 150 years later, the first Machzor is produced by Rashi's son, I believe, or Rashi's disciple. In the late 15th century, Siddurs start going to the printing press. Everything changes. Now everybody has to have a Siddur. Actually, they say they weren't really, it still wasn't real common for everybody to have their own siddur until even the 18th or 19th century, early 19th century. So not that long ago. Yeah. All right. So one more thing. When you pick up a siddur, you should always check this. See right here? It says Sephard. Because we have two major prayer traditions that have survived. Two variants. And this is like the difference between King James and NIV, I think. It's a little bit more radical than that even. So some of the prayers are in different arrangements, different orders. Sephard means Spanish. That's from Spanish Jewry. The other one is Ashkenaz. That's Eastern European Jewry. Ashkenaz is the more accurate, or the older, the more authentic. Sephard is highly influenced by Kabbalistic developments. So that's why Sephard is so much more interesting than the Ashkenazi liturgy.
So is that one of them?
This is a Sephard siddur. I just happened to pull this one off the shelf. We use the Ashkenaz Nusach here at Beth Emanuel.
Oh, okay.
But most Messianic congregations prefer the Sephardic. We use the Ashkenaz Nusach with the Sephardic pronunciation.
Yeah.
That's how we do it. That's how we roll.
Just an example of like an Ashkenaz and a Sephard, so we could hear the difference.
An example, sure. Well, there's lots of differences. Most of them are very small and subtle differences. But for example, at Mincha time, you would recite in Sephardic tradition at Mincha time. You say the passages about the offering of the incense again before you pray to remember that this is a sacrifice time. Whereas in Ashkenaz tradition, you don't. Here in the Ahava Rabbah, the blessing before the Shema that I mentioned earlier, this is how it ends. And you, our King, have brought us close to your great name forever in truth and love to offer praiseful thanks to you, proclaim your wonderful love and to love your name. Blessed are you, Lord, who chooses people Israel with love. Sounds similar, except where's shine a new light on Zion? Missing, you don't have that, that's my phone. Don't have that passage. Or how about this when we go over to... So this is very small, we're just missing a sentence there, but I kind of miss it. And we go over to, how about this one, where we're praying for insight? So, Atach Honein L'Adam Da'at Umlamed La'inosh Bina, that's all the same, Haneinu Me'ika Chokma Bina V'Da'at, instead of Haskel. So it says, in other words, you graciously endow man with knowledge and teach insight to a frail mortal. Endow us graciously from yourself with wisdom, insight, and knowledge. Chokmah. Whereas in the Ashkenaz, it says haskel, which is cleverness. I always was jealous of that one. The Sephardis get wisdom and we get clever. A lot of little differences like that. Really, you could pray together with hardly notice that you're praying out of different siddurs. All right, that is the siddur. That's where it comes from. Look, this is a holy book. It's for real. This is a holy book. If the Bible is on like the level of complete inerrant divine inspiration and so on, which it is, the siddur is is a close second. It's not there, but it's a close second. It's running a close second. I always skip that 19th blessing. You know, how can you pray the 18 blessings and there's 19 of them? So I always figure I have to leave one out, so I leave out that one about the heretics. But that's just me. That's just me. So I'm not saying it's flawless or anything like that, but it's an amazing. What's the value for believers? This is the prayers that were prayed by, you know, Yeshua and the apostles and all the apostolic community. These prayers return us to a kingdom-centered world. This is why the Messianic movement has so much trouble with it, because they're trying to get evangelical ideas sideways into the Siddur. But the Siddur is talking about, the Siddur is all about the redemption. It's all about, you know, the great redemption and the coming of the kingdom of heaven. That's why the Lord's Prayer fits so snugly, you know, in the Siddur. Yeah, there's a couple different prayers in the Siddur that you could reassemble the Master's Prayer out of texts in the Siddur. And like I mentioned, the prayers are already messianic if you know what to look for, if you know the language. You know, you know, like when it speaks of the branch, you know that's a title of Messiah, for example. But if you don't, you'll miss it in several places. Or like if it says the lamp of David, you would have to know, oh, the lamp of David, that's Mashiach. You know, so it's rarely going to say Mashiach or Messiah, because it's poetry. Yeah. You know? Advantages to the Siddur, advantage to praying with the Siddur, you get the opportunity to pray along with Israel. Which I think, you know, if you pray at the times of prayer, you get to pray along with all Israel. That's very cool. That's wonderful. Disadvantage is that you're praying along with all of Israel if you're not Jewish. Because then there's all sorts of awkward prayers. You're not Jewish and you're saying all sorts of awkward things like return us to our land, you know, and this sort of thing. But there's a workaround. There's a workaround on this. And the workaround is that you just have to have the right kavana. The right kavana is that you ask God for permission to pray along with Israel. That's all. You know, just like, I mean, you go to a synagogue. If you were to, you go to any synagogue, they're not going to hand you and say, oh, are you a Gentile? Oh, here's the Gentile prayer book, you know? It's just, no, these are the services, and you pray. If you went to the temple in the days of the apostles, and Gentiles could, they went to the temple in the days of the apostles, they couldn't go in past the court of the Gentiles, but they go to the temple, there's not like a Gentile Levitical choir out there that's going to like lead Gentile prayers for you, you know? It's like Paul calls it the services, the worship. You know, in Rome, he says, to what advantage is there being a Jew? To them has been given the Torah, the covenants, the fathers, the worship. Yeah. This is the worship. But that's, you know, it takes a bit of work in your mind. And what else? Participation in the worship I mentioned. Okay, great. That's it. Any questions? Siddur, yes?
I have a question. I preface it by saying this is not to be a facetious question.
Okay.
Could you define the word prayer?
Tefillah. The word in Hebrew is tefillah. And it's actually, strangely, it's connected with a word that means to judge. I don't think that's relevant. I don't know why I brought that up. Prayer is communication with a deity. That's what prayer is. Communication with a deity. Now, there might be different... In communication, we say different things. And in communication with the deity, there are different types of prayers. There are petitions. There are petitions for mercy, petitions for a boon. You know, like hey, can we have good rain this year so we can have good crops so that we don't have to starve? You know, that would be asking for a boon, a petition for a boon, or a blessing. There's all sorts of, you know, there's prayers for, you would communication, asking for this, you ask for that. Who else are you going to ask? But there's another kind of prayer, and that is the adoration, prayers of adoration, communicating your adoration of the deity, which essentially is a divine form of groveling, and which is what, you know, a king, you know, this is the tribute you give to a king, okay? So how much more so to a deity? And so these are called blessings. A bracha is a statement of adoration, but you're communicating a statement of adoration, a praise, to say, you know, he is praised, is to brag about, but you're bragging about him in his presence, to brag about God, to praise God. Praise means brag, so to say, he's the maker of the heaven and the earth. You know, blessed are you, Hashem, maker of heaven and earth. You're bragging. It's like, you know, you're bragging that you made, that my God made the heavens and the earth. But you're directing it in communication towards him. Does that make sense? So prayer, all prayer is communication, but there are different types of communication. Now, there's also two different kinds of prayer that we should distinguish between: corporate prayer and individual prayer. And this is where things have gotten murky, I think, for many of us. Individual prayer is talking to God yourself. And you can pray individually, you can pray the Psalms, you can pray liturgically, you can pray non-liturgically. You know, you pray however you want. It's you and God. You know, you sing to God, you tell God that you're worried, you almost spin out on the ice and you say, oh my God, and it was a prayer. You know, that sort of thing. Corporately, it has to be different. Corporately, it's liturgical. It's, you know, corporately, it has to be, I mean, not that you can't have a prayer meeting. You certainly can have a prayer meeting and where everybody gets a turn to pray. That's fine. That's wonderful. But if everybody's going to pray in one voice, then, you know, and say, we are praying in the plural, one voice, all of us together, our Father who art in heaven, not my Father who is in heaven, but our Father who art in heaven, in the plural form, we need to pray together, you know, and we need to pray the same words. That's liturgical prayer. What they did at Yavne is they said, from now on, pray the corporate liturgical prayers even when you're on your own, you know, even by yourself. So that's why the lines kind of got crossed. All right, everybody.
Could I have something?
Yep.
Could it be said that prayer is a work of faith?
Sure. But prayer requires faith. Because you got to believe that you're talking to someone.
Right.
Otherwise, you're crazy. I mean, that's right. That's just crazy.
So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's, yeah.
Are you guys going to meet next Tuesday?
Is next Tuesday?
It's the first day of
Hanukkah. Is it?
It's not on Wednesdays. Oh, Wednesdays?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be meeting next Tuesday. Yep. All right, so one more thing you'll see. I kind of gave you a little index for your siddur, if maybe help you find your way around a siddur.